Brother Stephen didn't know that I was going to preach out of John 15, and I didn't know he was going to read verse number 13, but that's where I'm going to try to preach out of this morning as well. So John chapter number 15. I like when the Lord works out little details, and the songs just go right along with the service and the preaching, and it already has this morning. And we have some Memorial Day weekend, and we have the Lord's Supper today. So we'll be doing that at the end of the service. So I trust we'll prepare our hearts for that. But we're just going to read a few verses this morning. John 15, let's read verses 12 down through verse number 14. Just three short verses, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. John 15, verse 12 says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful to be here today, and we were just thinking earlier of all the very many objects of prayer that we've already heard. A lot of people sick, a lot of people traveling. Lord, there's always those that are lost and those that have lost loved ones through death. Lord, we pray for them today, especially that you would comfort and help. Lord, I pray you'd be in the preaching. I pray you'd be in the service, everything that's said and done. Every time we meet together is special, and we're thankful that we have the opportunity. But Lord, especially today, as we think about two great things that have so much to do with each other, and that's Memorial Day and the Lord's Supper, and one is a memorial as well of that Jesus died and gave his life for us. So Lord, we pray for your help today. I pray that you'd make it easy to preach thy word. I pray you'd speak to our hearts, use us, change us for your honor and your glory. We'll thank you, Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's go back and read verse number 13 one more time. The Bible said this, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And if you know anything about the Bible, the context of chapter number 15, what is going on here is taking place in the upper room. And the Lord Jesus Christ had gathered his disciples together. They had come together for the purpose of observing the Passover meal. And that starts in chapter number 13, in verse number 1. The Bible says over there, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God." And so we find that at the beginning of chapter number 13, we find that after the Passover supper, there was an addition on that night. And that was the Lord's Supper. And so the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ come together. They have the Passover. And after the Passover, the Lord washes the disciples' feet. They have what we now call and refer to, that was where the Lord's Supper was instituted. And John has more little details. He has more of what went on that night than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so we find in John chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter number 16, the Lord talks about heaven. The Lord talks about, all of these things when we'll see some of these things, but he records what the Lord said on that night. And then in chapter number 17, there is the Lord's Prayer, and that is where the Lord prayed for the disciples. And then in chapter number 18, the night was over, and the Bible said in chapter 18, verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where is a garden, into the which he entered with his disciples. And then just a short time after that, the Lord was betrayed by Judas. He was arrested. He was carried before the high priest. And by 9 a.m. the next morning, the Lord Jesus Christ had already, he'd been put on a mock trial and they'd sentenced him to death, and he went to Calvary for you and I. So all that took place in a very short period of time. They actually spent the whole evening there in the upper room, and all of these things that were said and done took about 6 hours. They were up there till probably after midnight. And so that's what we find in John 13 through John chapter number 18. But when we come to chapter 15 and verse number 13, where the Lord Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends," that was spoken by a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was actually getting ready to die for his friends. He was getting ready to go to the cross. He was within hours of doing the very thing that he was telling the disciples, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." He was getting ready to go to the cross. I believe the closeness of him going to the cross, that bears more weight. I mean, he's just getting ready to go to the cross. And they sort of understand and they sort of don't understand all the things that were going on. But I want to try to preach this morning on this subject, no greater love. That's what he's talking about. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And there's five things I want to try to show you this morning about this subject of no greater love. First of all, we're going to go back to verse number 12. First of all, when we think about no greater love, there's the standard that the Lord Jesus gave. In verse number 12, he said, "This is my commandment, that ye," he's talking to the disciples there, "ye love one another as I have loved you." Now, notice there in verse number 12, that little word "as," that's real important. You ought to underline that. The Lord Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And so that little word "as" is very, very important. And love has been one of the primary themes that he's been talking to the disciples about. We cannot emphasize too much how important it is that we, as his disciples, love one another. It's very, very important. If you go back to chapter number 13, look what the Bible says beginning chapter number 13 and verse number 33. This is the night of the Passover. And before he talks about heaven, before he talks about Jesus and the Father, before he talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit or the subject of being fruitful, before he talked about any of those things, he started out by talking about them loving one another. John chapter number 13 and verse number 33, the Bible said that Jesus said, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you." He knew he was getting ready to go to the cross. And he referred to them as little children. "Gathered you around together here, I've got something very important to tell you. I'm just going to be with you a little while." He said, "Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." See how very important it is that the Lord said that we love one another. That's the standard right there. The standard that we are talking about. The standard of love, this greater love that I'm preaching about this morning. The standard of this greater love is not our love for the Lord. Now that might surprise you that I say that, but I'm going to show you from the Bible, because there's a lot of people out here in the world to tell you how much they love the Lord. "Oh, I love the Lord." But look, the standard the Lord gave is this. The standard the Lord gave is not our love for Him, but His love for us. That's the standard. He said, "You love one another as I have loved you." We're to love one another like the Lord loves us. Our love for him. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. If you look on down to verse number 36, Peter, he claimed to love the Lord very much, didn't he? Look what he said in verse 36. And Jesus has just been talking about dying and going to the cross. And in verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Oh, Peter said, Lord, I want you to know how much I love you. I'll follow you right now. I'll lay down my life for you. Is that not what he was saying? Verse 38, look what the Bible said. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Peter said, oh, Lord, I love you. I'll go with you right now. I'm ready to lay down my life for you. And the Lord said to him, before the sun comes up in the morning and before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. You see, Peter claimed to love the Lord very much, but the standard today is not will you die for him. The standard is will you love the brethren like him. That's a real test. Don't talk to me about, oh, how much I love the Lord if you don't love the brethren like he loved the brethren. That's the standard that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. Now, if you keep your place in John 15, just quickly look over to John chapter number 21. Now, Peter had denied the Lord. He had cursed three times. But after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus comes and appears to Peter. And what is the Lord want to talk to Peter about? Not how much he denied him, but how much he loved him. He wanted to know, Peter, do you really love me? Well, Peter's got another opportunity to show how much he loves the Lord. And John chapter number 21. And so they meet, and the Lord Jesus dines with the disciples, and he talks with Peter, and he asks Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? John 21 verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Jesus didn't say to Peter, now Peter, I want you to die for me. If you really love me, I want you to die for me. That's not what he said. He said, Peter, if you really love me, show me by feeding my sheep. Show me by your relationship to my people how much you love me. You see, that's the standard this morning. Don't talk about how much you love the Lord if you don't love the brethren. Don't talk about how much you love Jesus and you'd do anything for him under the sun if you won't serve and love your brethren. That's the test this morning. John, the disciple, I believe he got it best of all. If you read 1 John, he has a lot to say about loving the Lord and loving the brethren. He's the one that said, how can we say we love God whom we have not seen if we don't even love our brothers who we have seen? You remember that over there in 1 John? 1 John 3:16, and I was paraphrasing there. But 1 John 3:16, John said, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's the standard. When we're talking about the greatest love of all is how we are in relationship to the brethren. If we're not in good relationship to the brethren, don't talk about how much you love the Lord. We show our love to the Lord by our love for the brethren. The standard that we find from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ is, how are we in relation to the brethren? John chapter 15 verse 12. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. We're to be willing to give our lives for the brethren. That's the standard, number one. Number two, there's the great statement that we find in verse number 13. Now think about this morning. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now that's a great statement. Do you know we could think this morning, we could give hundreds of examples of what we might say. That's a great example of love. We could talk about a mother's love. We could talk about a father's love. Do you know, back last year when Abigail was getting ready to get married, do you know, all she really wanted out of me was something that I really didn't want to give. Do you know what she... It wasn't the marrying her. It wasn't the paying for all of it. It wasn't a lot of things, but from the very beginning, she said, Dad, I want you to dance with me. That's what she wanted. I'm not the dancing kind. I didn't want to do that. But I'll tell you, I didn't. What can you do? That's what she wanted. And last weekend when they were up here, we were coming over there and they had their phone or something. They were watching that dance where we danced together. And Abigail, she was commenting on it. She said, Dad, she said, I kept messing you up. And we practiced and practiced. Now, I didn't want to do that, but I done it because I love her. That's an example of a father's love or a parent's love. Many times we do things that we normally would not do or we don't really want to do or like to do. We could talk about a mother's love. Oh, from the first time she finds out, I've got a little one. She hears that heartbeat. She feels that first movement of that baby. She holds that baby in her arms and snuggles it up to her breast. And we might think today of many examples. Oh, that's a mother's love. A father's love, a mother's love. All these are great examples. Surely that's the greatest example of love. But that's not what the Lord Jesus said. We could think about love between siblings. Brothers, sisters growing up. You know how that is. If you've got brothers, sisters, or you know what I'm talking about this morning. A lot of times in the family, you know, it's all right for me to beat up my brother, but you'd better not try to beat him up. Hey, it's all right for us to pick on one another, but you better not pick on my sister. That's a special kind of love. That's a great kind of love. There's father's love. There's mother's love. There's love between husband and wife, between those that love one another. I was looking for something the other day in the basement. And there's a footlocker down there, and I hadn't been in it in years. And I thought, I think what I want, it had something to do with my grandpa. I said, I think what I want might be in that footlocker, an old army footlocker. And so I messed around, moved everything that was on top of it, opened that up, and what I thought was in there was not in what was in there. What was in there, it's full of love letters between Kim and I. When I was in basic training and when I was in England and she was here, and letters back and forth and back and forth, full of. She wrote me every day. For months. That's a kind of love. Friends have love one to another. There's all kinds of ways that we could say that is a great example of love. But of all the examples of love that could be thought of, the Lord Jesus gave this example. And He said it's the greatest. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And this verse is commonly associated not with a father's love, not with a mother's love, but the love that you would find among brothers fighting together in a battle. That's where you find this verse associated with soldiers, the sacrifice of battle. There's a book, it's called Lone Survivor. There's a movie, there's all kinds of examples that we could give from battles of days gone by. But for one example, Navy SEAL Team 6 goes into Afghanistan. They get cut off from their communications. They get attacked by the Taliban. And it's about six men against the whole army. And they're fighting and they're fighting and they're fighting for their lives. And they're cut off and they can't call in. They can't get any help. This one soldier, Michael T. Murphy, he's got the satellite radio, but as desperately as they're trying in the mountains of Afghanistan, they cannot get a call in for help because they're pinned in under the mountain. And Michael T. Murphy, he knows that if there's any help for his guys, he's going to have to crawl out into the open, and he crawls out into the open to make a call to get some help, and they shoot him and they kill him, and he dies there in Afghanistan. There's no greater love than that. You know, we would all expect that a father would die for his son. Wouldn't you fathers do anything you could to protect your children? Wouldn't you mothers give your life if your child was out in the street and you saw that a vehicle is coming and the only way that you're going to save that child's life is if you run out and push it out of the way and it might be your life for their life? A mother would do that. But see, soldiers, they're not, it's not their dad, it's not their son, it's not their mom. It's just men, it's just people that are together and they're in a circumstance, a common circumstance. And for somebody like that, it would be very easy, we would say, well, I'm not dying for them. That's not my cousins, my brother, that's not my dad. But for somebody just to give their life for somebody else, Jesus said, there's no greater love than that. Isn't that interesting? Of all the love he could have mentioned, he says that is the greatest love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the statement in verse number 13. Next of all, we look on down, there's the sacrifice. Now, there's all kinds of sacrifices that we make in this life. But the greatest sacrifice is in verse number 13. It is a sacrifice that a man lay down his life. That's talking about dying for somebody else. That a man lay down his life. Let me give you some examples. We are right now the 100-year anniversary of America entering World War I. 100 years ago, June 14th, 1917... 12,000 American soldiers set sail from Hoboken, New Jersey, going to France. It took them several weeks to get there. They were the first that entered the conflict on behalf of America. It started out just 12,000 soldiers. Most of them had recently enlisted. And some of you that were in the Army and stuff, when you see the decal or hear somebody talking about the big red one, that comes from World War I. They were the first to fight. So the first infantry. That's where that comes from. But over just a period of a year or so, 11 months, America would send 2 million more soldiers to fight in World War I. Many of them never came back home. Went to fight over there. I'm just talking about World War I. During World War I, there were 11 million military deaths. There were 7 million. And a lot of times people would just, historians and everything, they just don't know how many people died. Said there were 7 million civilian deaths during World War I. At the Battle of Somme in France, The British lost 19,240 soldiers in one day. Can you imagine that? One battle. Now, in our day and time, they're dying at a rate of 1, 2, 3 at a time. Can you imagine us being involved in a battle where 19,000 died in one day? One day. They decided very early on in the war, World War I, that so many soldiers were dying that there would be no way to bring them back home. So they never even tried to bring all those soldiers back home. They didn't have the manpower. They didn't have the means. You know, they're not flying in C-130s. They're on ships. They couldn't find them. They didn't know where they were. And so all over France, all over Europe today, there are battlefields that have been turned into cemeteries. And I wore a poppy today. That is a symbol of those who died during World War I. And there's a famous poem, and I'm going to read it to you. It's called, I'm going to read part of it. It's called In Flanders Fields. I'm talking about the great sacrifice of somebody giving their life for somebody else. It's a reality that Jesus died for our sins. I think we're so far removed from it, it doesn't touch us very much. Or somebody dying for us is a foreign thing, and it doesn't move us very much. But during World War I and World War II, they died by the thousands. They didn't have a funeral like we think of a funeral. What they would have many times is the soldiers would just get together and they would have a memorial service. The chaplain would come out. They would maybe sing a song. The chaplain would say some words, read Psalms chapter number 23, and they would pack up and they would move on. That's all they had time to do. Very quick, rush thing. My grandpa Greer, he never really talked about very much serious things, but after I was called to preach and I was sitting down there talking to him one day, and he told me about that some men had gotten killed. In World War II, he's in Germany or France. He was all over there. And there were some men that had gotten killed. And they were having a memorial service. And he told me, he called me son. He said, son, it was like, he said, we were gathered together in an apple orchard. And some men had gotten killed and we were having a memorial service. And he said, it's the most beautiful scene you ever seen in your life. He said it was like the Holy Spirit come down through the leaves and just comforted and helped us. Because we were hurting so bad because those men had gotten killed. And they would bury him and they would do the best they can and they would move on. And a man named John McCrae, Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, he wrote this poem. He read it at a fellow soldier's funeral held on the battlefield. Alex Helmer had died in the Second Battle of Ypres in France. And he wrote this poem and he said this, and this is why poppies are a symbol of those that died in World War I. But it said, in Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders fields. And so when we think this morning about the sacrifice that a man laid down his life for his friends. The ultimate sacrifice is those that have died that we might be free. And I know how our society is, and I know how people are, and there's many out here today. They say, oh, we're down on the military, and we're not for this, and we're not for that. Well, take away all the military. And take away all the wars, as bad as war is. And just ask yourself, where would we be today if somebody had not fought? Would we be living in a country like Russia? Would we live under somebody like a Hitler? Yes, we would. And so we think about the sacrifice involved in freedom and physically and spiritually, the great sacrifice that has been made for us. There's bones, they're not even bones now, dust, fields. And all they are is crosses, and somebody mows it and keeps it up, and people come by. But we get farther and farther removed from why we are where we are today, and we just do not appreciate the freedoms that we have. But somebody made a sacrifice. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. So there's a great sacrifice. Number four, there's a substitute. You say, preacher, are you preaching on the Lord or are you preaching on Memorial Day? Yeah. Better remember both of them. Because the greatest is what the Lord's done for us. There's the sacrifice. Number four, there's the substitute. Now, look in verse number 13, what Jesus was saying to the disciples. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You ought to underline that little word, for. Jesus was talking about dying for the disciples. Not, I'll die and you follow later on, but for is talking about, it denotes a substitute. For is, when we use the word for, it means in place of. It's talking about one takes the place of another. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest love of all love. Because Jesus died for sinners. He died for sinners. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It's one thing to die for people that love you or somebody you're related to or in your family, but to die for somebody that hates you? Jesus died for sinners. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. John 3:16, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He died for everybody in the whole world. But let me ask you something this morning. Does everybody in the world love the Lord? No. In fact, most people are very indifferent, and a great number hate the Lord Jesus. But He died for them. He died so that they could be saved. The Lord Jesus died for the world. The Lord Jesus died for the church. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. He died for the church. He died for us. But He said here in John chapter number 15 that He would lay down His life for His friends. But you know, they were only His friends because He chose them. Did they come running up to Jesus and say, hey, we want to follow You. We want to be Your friend. No, He found them and He chose them out to be His friends. He had already made up His mind, decided, and before the foundation of the world, who they were going to be. And they were going to be His friends. And he was going to give his life for them. Look on down in John 15. Look at verse 15, what the Lord said to them. And he's talking to the disciples here. He said, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." You know, the only reason they're the Lord's friends is because he chose them to be his friends, and that he would die for the disciples, and he would die for the church, and he would die for the sins of the world. He died for them. He paid their sin debt. He paid our sin debt. That's a substitute. Jesus died for us so that you don't have to die and pay for your sins in for all of eternity in a place called hell, and you'll never pay for. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he," talking about God, "hath made him," talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He's our substitute. He died in our place. That means you don't have to die without your sins forgiven. You don't have to die and go to that awful place called hell. You don't have to go through life and not be saved by the grace of God. He died in our place as our substitute so that we could be saved. There's no greater love than that, that a man would die for his friends and his enemies. He died for all. He's a substitute. Number five and last of all this morning, there is the sign in verse number 14. Look what the Lord Jesus said. He said, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I commanded you." That little word, "if." "Ye are my friends if ye do." The word "if" is used as a sign of a condition. When we use the word "if," there is a condition there that needs to be met. And so the Lord Jesus told the disciples, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Look at verse number 17. "These things I command you, that ye love one another. If you do these things, you're my friends." Well, what if we don't? Something's wrong. "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." What if I told you this morning that when I was growing up, that I loved my parents with the greatest love that a child could love their parents with, but I never obeyed anything they told me to do? Would you think I really loved them like I said I did? You can say all day long how much you love the Lord, but if we won't do what he tells us to do, that tells me we don't love him very much. If we loved him very much, we'd do what he said to do. I didn't obey all the time, but I obeyed most of the time. You obeyed your parents, not always just out of fear, but because you loved them, you honored them, and you respected them. And as you grow and mature a little bit in your life, you realize after a while all that your parents have done for you. Well, think this morning what the Lord's done for us. And Jesus told them there, he said, "You're my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." And I ask us this morning, all of us, I ask myself, are we doing what he says to do? Or do we just go through this life doing what we want to do? And there's a lot of people just going through life. Yeah, they talk about the Lord and loving the Lord and all this, but really, they're just doing what they want to do. But if we're just doing what we want to do in life and not what he tells us to do, we really don't love the Lord very much. But I tell you this morning, He sure loves us. He has sure proven His love to us. Because He said here in the Word of God that there's no greater love that a man has. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, and He died for us on the cross. Boy, He sure done a lot for us. We ought to do what He asks us to do. We ought to do what He tells us to do. Because there's no greater love. Are you doing what He says to do? What does He say to do, preacher? Get in the Bible, and you'll find there's more answers to that question than you'll fulfill in a lifetime. What does the Lord want me to do? Number one, He wants you to be saved. Number two, He wants you to follow Him in believers' baptism and show the whole world that you have been saved and you're going to be a disciple. He wants us to follow Him. There's a lot He wants us to do. We'll have to get in the book. I'd like for us this morning to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.